In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. If you attended the prayer from last night, this morning, and during the Gospel now, all three Gospel readings for Vespers, Matins, and the Liturgy are from chapter 6 of the book of John. And you would be amazed to know the wisdom of the Church in having that chapter this week, the second week of the 50 joyful days. Last week we got the confession of St. Thomas that Jesus is our Lord and God, when he declared and said, "My Lord and my God." Then the Church is asking us today a very important question, and that's why they brought the whole chapter 6 of the book of John. If you read it carefully, you'll find something different that you may not have heard before, but it talks about different types of people. And I classified the chapter into four different types of people. And it's amazing also that we should know that in the book of John, it is the only book that mentioned the word "I am." The only book that the Lord Jesus said, "I am." And if you go back to the Old Testament from the book of Genesis, when the Lord said, I am what I am," it means Jehovah, Yahweh, means God. So, for example, in today's scripture, in chapter 6, verses 35, and then 41, and then 51, he said, "I am the bread of life which came down from heaven." In chapter 8, in verse 12, in chapter 9, verse 5, he said, "I am the light of the world." In chapter 10, in verses 7 and 9, he said, "I am the door of the sheep." In chapter 10, verses 11 and 14, he said, "I am the good shepherd." And in chapter 10, verse 36, he said, "I am the Son of God." In chapter 11, 25, he said, "I am the resurrection and the life." In chapter 14, verse 6, he said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." And in chapter 15, in verses 1 and 5, he said, "I am the true vine." I bring you this scripture to know that the Lord wanted to remind Jewish people that He is Lord. He is the same God they believe in. They believed in Yahweh, Jehovah. They all mean the same. And if you believe that He is Lord, you must believe in that Jesus who is standing before you, that He is God and Lord. And it's amazing that each one of those "I ams" represents a particular relationship of the Lord Jesus to the spiritual needs of men and women. The Lord Jesus is light in the darkness. He is the gate of security. He is the shepherd that guides. He is the way. He is the truth, the life. And in every one of these, we see that the Lord Jesus wants us to receive Him, not for the gifts that He is giving. He wants to make sure that you know that He is God, that He is the one who abides in your heart, and He is the one who will live with you forever. If you read the book of Revelation, it talks about the New Jerusalem to be the city of God living with people. It did not say people living with God. God is so proud and anxious that He lived with us. And it's amazing that He is God and Father, and He wants that, and we don't. It's really amazing that God does all of that, that to show that He loves us so much and He wants to be with us so much and we don't want. That's exactly what happened in the scripture in the book of John chapter 6 today, where you will hear about the first three group of people. There are some people who do not want to be with God. They reject God. If He does not give them what they ask for, He is not their God. So please give me your attention to get to know what does it mean when God described those different people, and which type is it? Which type is it that you are fitting in? The first type is the materialist. Many people who followed the Lord Jesus at this point, after He made the miracle of feeding 5,000 men, not counting the women and the children. And I talked about this before, that could be in the 15,000, maybe 20,000 or more. So those people who came after the Lord, after he performed this miracle, they were looking for something more. They were looking for a political savior. They wanted some political solutions. They needed like free handouts, some more food, material goodies and stuff like that. But the Lord did not accept it because he did not come to be a materialistic leader. He did not come to be a king. You know, they were trying to take him by force to claim him as a king. But he left them. They went after him in all boats, asking and seeking him. And when they went after him, the Lord looked back at them and said in verse 26, "Most assuredly I say to you, you seek me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled." You are not going after God because you want him to be in your life. You want him because there is something that you need. You need to be fed, you need to get a good job, marriage, or what have you. Not for any other reason. When I need something, I look for God. Did that happen when that massacre in Columbine High School and everybody start to come back and say, "Where is God?" After the massacre, then we ask and tell them, "You are right, where is God? Didn't you kick him out of the school long time ago?" No one can mention the name of God inside any school. So if you do that, how come now you are asking, "Where is God?" You already told God, "Get out of here." So now when you have an accident, when you have a terrible massacre and killing of innocent children, you are asking where God is. Where we lose our job, where is God? When we are having hard time and difficulty in our marriage, where is God? But in any other time, no one cares to come forward and thank you, God, for what you have given me. Thank you for the husband, thank you for the wife, thank you for the children, thank you for the church, thank you for my health, thank you for being what I am. No one does. We are so busy with our life that we completely ignore God and all his gift to us. Of course, when the Jewish people heard that, they turned their back on God and they left him. To those people, God said in verse 27, "Do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set his seal on him." But unfortunately, again, the materialist turned away from his message, did not take it into their heart, did not even listen. Like sometimes we come to the church and we come to be present physically, but our mind is not with us. We could be even falling asleep. Maybe we need somebody to yell and shout to make sure that everyone is awake. But if someone is coming to church for the sake of being with God, he will be giving all his attention, 100%, to listen to the Word of God. There is another type of people, what we call it, the legalist. They came and asked God, "What shall we do to do that we may work the works of God?" You know that throughout the Christian history, the church has often fallen into the sin of legalism. The problem is, it is easier to make rules than to build relationships. The Lord Jesus wants to live in the heart of every one of us, every Christian, no matter where you are. He has sent his Son to reconcile us and to be his children. And having God in our heart, that will make the law inside our heart. His commandments should be the law, should be the rules we are all seeking and listening to. We should not wait for steps. Here is what you are supposed to do. 1, 2, 3. The law of God should have been written in your heart from the moment you received baptism. The Lord is calling every one of us to study his word for ourselves and learn from this word. When we do that, the church will enjoy an amazing unity in morals and principles. People having the same heart and the same mind. We cannot be two people in the church. No matter how many we are here today, we should be only one, because we have one heart and one mind and one God whom we worship. But some people simply don't want a deep relationship with God. They'd rather find a strong leader and memorize the set of rules, and here are the steps that we are supposed to follow. But to be honest with you, I hope you don't feel bad, the Lord has no interest whatsoever in those people who are not interested in a relationship with Him. He does not. God has no interest in those legalists. The Lord came to build relationship, not rules. When the crowd demanded the list of work, the Lord gave them this very amazing answer that I wish to share with you from verse 29 today. He said, "This is the work of God, that you believe in Him whom He sent." As amazing as it sounds, the Lord Jesus wants a genuine love relationship with every one of us. He proved it when He died on the cross. He proved it when He still looked at us as His children, no matter how much we hurt Him by turning away from Him, by getting so angry and causing so much disturbance in our little churches at home, by cursing and swearing and then coming back to church to praise God. Still, God will accept, waiting and hoping that He will get the lesson that He loves you so much and He will never stop loving you. The materialists wanted the goodies more than wanting God, and the legalists wanted the law, but not the giver of the law. They rejected the Lord Jesus as a replacement for the rule-keeping religion of that day. There is one third group that also rejected God that I hope you are not any one of them, what I call it sensationalist. Sensational is the person who have so much of excitement for anything that could happen. You get so excited about somebody who can make a sermon and screaming and yelling, and you're keeping the wow, wonderful, so exciting. Now I come to church because of that person, not because of God. If you come for God, it doesn't matter who speaks. Only you see people coming when you have visitors, but on normal days you don't see that many, because they are coming for the speaker, not for the word. We have become like exactly the community outside where they go after, like right now during the election times, the one who speaks much better than the other, the one who can convince by their word. You do not need to be convinced by someone, because the Word of God is the Word of God. It is very strong no matter what we are. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 55, verse 11, God said, "My word will never come back to be empty." There would be someone listening and opening his heart, and he would be moved by every single word. But those people who are looking for some excitement, amazingly, they were telling God, "Give us a sign. What sign will you perform then, that we may see it and believe you? What work will you do?" Isn't it amazing that this happened after the miracle of feeding 5,000? That was like the day yesterday. And right away, second day, like today, you forget what happened. I fed 5,000 yesterday. I made this great miracle. And today you are asking me for a sign. You did not believe what happened before. Do you need to always live in excitement? If there is no excitement, there is no God. If that's how God it is for us, is it how the church will be for us? God is not here physically with us. He is here in the heart of every one of us. But He wants us to be moved by His word, by His teaching, by the Bible. But what you hear when you give your heart and your mind to listen to God, if you truly give God all attention and all heart and all mind. So the Lord Jesus did not come to make us get excited and say, "Wow, and this is good," and we'll always have some high points. There are also some low points. There are mountaintops, there are hills. That's how we should live with God, the highs and downs and lows, if you truly believe in Him. Otherwise, how would you learn in your life to believe and trust in God? If you go through hard time and tribulation, there is no God. If you are succeeding and having lots of good things happening to you, and you have success in your life and your study, wow, thank you, God. If this has got you, tell you the bad news that you do not know God yet. God is God all the time, in good time, in bad time. You must trust in Him. Do not do what the Jewish people did. God looked at them sadly and said, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me, and yet you do not believe. Why don't you? Because you are waiting for a sign? You are waiting for a miracle? Are you telling me that every day that you live, you have not seen a sign? You have not seen a miracle? I mentioned that many times before. For you to be alive as you are right now, for you to listen, and you are hearing my voice today, for you to see me here in the church today, to see the light, the sun, for you to be able to sit by yourself on your own, no help from anybody, to be able to go outside and walk by yourself, to drive your car by yourself. These are miracles. You ought to believe in every step and everything that happens in your life that these are miracles. Don't take it for granted. The only way maybe you get to know it, maybe you go and visit a hospital or a nursing home where you see people are wishing to go out and walk on their own. Don't do like what the Jewish people did again in the scripture today. They complained about him because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. And they said, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he says, I have come down from heaven? So, are you sharing with them? Do you still have doubts in God that he is God who made all of these miracles for you? Who gave you yourself and your family, your husband or your wife, and your children and your health and your work and all of that? Or are you one of those who complain like those Jewish people? Miracles have been happening and they are still asking for a sign. What other sign? It was the second day. Second day they were asking for a sign. How about the sign yesterday? If you open the window every morning and see the sun, it is a miracle. The sun is still rising on the same time for you. God made the sun and the moon for you. It is a miracle. It is a miracle in itself. You are still seeing God in the sun and the moon and everyone around you. So I hope you are not one of those three people. I hope you are one of the coming and the last group of people. Those are the loyalists. Those are the ones who believe in God no matter what happened. You know, people start to go away from God, as it says in verse 66 in the book of John today, in chapter 6. It says, from that time many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. They left God. It was not exactly as they were expecting. They were looking for that leader who will deliver them from the Romans. He was not. He was looking for someone to be stronger and hitting everyone around and having that much of like power and might. He was not. He was telling them that if anybody slap you on right cheek, give him the other also. They said, that can be, it doesn't work with us. We need that powerful leader. They did not look for the power in the relationship. They did not look for the power in their heart. They did not look for the power in love. That is not power to them. Power is somebody mighty, having some muscles, and he can go and fight. That's not powerful. The power, and the powerful person is the one who knows how to show great love anytime, all the time, 24/7. And if you look at what the Lord said to his own disciples and his apostles when he looked back at all of them, and he said something with his human feelings and very heartbreaking verse, it says, do you also want to go away? Do you also want to go away? Really, if you think about this for a minute, all people left him. Everyone did. Even his disciples. Remember, the Lord had the 12 apostles and disciples, meaning followers. All of those left him. Are you acting exactly the same as the disciples? who were waiting for a sign, or would you do something different that I wish we all do? What I would do, I would say what St. Peter said in the scripture today, in verses 68 to 69. He said, Lord, to whom shall we go? Ye have the words of eternal life. Also, we have come to believe and know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. St. Peter understood what the crowds did not understand, and what until today everyone outside our church does not understand. St. Peter understood that we are not following the Lord Jesus because he will give us some loaves and fish, and who will feed our need, the materialistic need, the bodily need. That's not it. He understood that God has life, eternal life, and we will never thirst, we will never hunger as long as we will go after him. Being the bread of life, meaning he will abide in us and we abide in him forever. And we trust him and trust all word that he said. So I ask you today, is God all your need? Is he your bread of life? And if you have been there the day the Lord Jesus preached the bread of life sermon, would you have walked the way, or would you have echoed Peter's word, Lord, to whom shall we go? Ye have the words of eternal life. Which one of those four groups are you? Ask yourself the question while I tell you this last story I read about a couple in Upper Egypt that was very poor, a husband and wife, and they have 7 children. And the man, one day, all of a sudden, unexpectedly, he died. The woman, who did not work before and does not have any work experience, she was very sad. And her elder daughters were in the 18, 19 years age. And in Egypt, in Upper Egypt, that age is the age for marriage. And as you know, in Egypt, they share, like what we do here, the bride and groom must share with each other. I will buy this stuff and you buy some other stuff for the house of the newlywed couple. So the lady was crying very hard when she lost her husband. And she said, God, why don't you at least send him to me for a moment to tell me what to do? I am by myself, and I have lots of girls in my house. I don't know how to prepare even for their wedding. I don't have money. I don't have work. And all of a sudden, the man appeared in her room. And he said, why do you cry? I am with God, and I am so happy. Don't make me unhappy. But by the way, even I was working a very humble job, I was saving money for the day when my children will get married. And in the closet behind you, the first drawer, if you remove it, you'll find another secret drawer. And then he disappeared. Then the lady thought, maybe I'm dreaming or imagining things. But with a strong faith, she got up and she opened the first drawer and she found there's nothing behind. She said, no, I am imagining. It was not true that my husband appeared. Then she said, why not? I have been always my life a true Christian, and I believe in every word. I believe those people are not dead, who are in heaven. So maybe I need to push that little wall behind. She pushed it, and it opened. And she got like a bag made of cloth, and there was so much things inside. This lady, as a Christian lady, was very faithful, and she was very honest, decided not to open it until she gets the brother of her husband. There was a law in Egypt, if a man died, his brother shared the inheritance. She sent her daughters to go get their uncle, and the uncle came, and she told him, here is what I found. She told him the whole story. So he told her, he did not open it yet. She said, no, as you can see, close as it is, because you are the one in charge, and you are supposed to take your share. The man kindly opened it and found lots of gold. He said, I cannot take any of this. This is from your husband, you and your children. She said, no, I can't. As a Christian person as I am, I must give you your share, and you give us the share. You are the man now. So the man took the whole gold and sold it And he promised the wife and the children that he will not let anyone need anything. And he took care of all of them and made sure the seven people, the seven children got married and were very happy in their life. That is the trust of God. That's the belief of God that you will never fear in a moment like that when you lose someone, that where is God? God exists then, now, and forever. All what you need to do is to say again what St. Peter said, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Also we have come to believe and know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God, and glory be to God now and forever and ever. Amen.